All right, we're beginning here at the new perek on the top of Nun Ched Amud Aleph. Mishnah begins, Kodshei Kodoshim, Shoshochtan Berosh HaMizbeach. So Kodshei Kodoshim, as we know from the previous perek, earlier in the Masechta, have to be shefted b'tzafon, on the northern side. But instead of doing it on the northern side of the Mizbeach, he did it on the Mizbeach itself. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ki'ilu Nishkat b'tzafon. When you sheft on top of the Mizbeach, it's as if you sheft it in the north, and it's totally fine. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yud Omer, the southern half of the Mizbeach is classified like the south, and the northern half of the Mizbeach is considered to be as if it is in the north. The Gemara will discuss this, but obviously the position of the Mizbeach seemingly should influence what their positions are over here, or maybe their positions are premised on where the Mizbeach is situated within the Zerah. There are generally three positions with regards to the placement of the Mizbeach. This, the Balei Tosafot and other places, some of the Rishonim point out that you could come up with all sorts of views or scenarios as to how the Mizbeach was situated, but there are three basic positions with regards to that, and then we'll see tomorrow's daf, and then summarizing all of these positions, that there are roughly between the Tanaim and the Rishonim, nine or so different views about where the Mizbeach was placed. But right now we'll suffice with three basic positions. One position is that Kula Mizbeach B'Tzafon. The entire Mizbeach was found on the northern side of the Azara. Kula Mizbeach B'Tarom. The entire Mizbeach was on the southern side. And then the third position, which is Mimutza. It was centered in the Azara. Now the position that we're defining, here again at least in the broader perspective, is that the Heichal itself was centered within the Azara. That means north to south, it was centered in the Azara. And that means that the opening to the Heichal, the opening to the Ulam, was centered. If you drew a line from east to west, that was a centered line over here. And then if you're talking about the Mizbeach in the north, speaking about not the ramp, but the physical structure of the Mizbeach being beyond that midline, and that means the entire Mizbeach is in the north. Speaking of being in the south, that means that it's the entire Mizbeach, including the ramp, are all on the southern side of this line. Mimutza would be that it goes through the middle of the Mizbeach. It's situated right down the center line, not including the ramp. That would be Mimutza. Now, Tosfot says over here, even though the Mishnah states it as a bidiyavad, because it says shishochtan, which is lashon bidiyavad, if you did do it, it's okay. Nevertheless, it says midoraita shochet lechatchila. This din, as we're going to learn from the Gemara, is a din lechatchila. It's not something bidiyavad. So then why does it use a lashon bidiyavad? Tosfot speculates that, ha, the naka diyavad midrabanan, maybe it's midrabanan shlotar bitz gilalim. So that the animals don't defecate on the Mizbeach, which would be inappropriate or improper. So therefore, Chazal preferred that you don't do it on the Mizbeach. But, l'chatchila midoraita, you could do there, there's just an injunction, midrabanan, not to do it because of the possible lack of kavod that might result from it. So now, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Omer Haya Rav Yossi, Kulei Mizbeach Mitzafon Koi. Now we have a statement that Rav Yochanan makes with regards to the position of Rav Yossi in our Mishnah, which is that the entire Mizbeach was in the north. Without getting into the depth of Rabbi Yochanan's statement, on the surface, it would seem that Rabbi Yochanan is correlating his position in the Mishnah with the placement of the Mizbeach. Because in the Mishnah, he says that the entire Mizbeach is kasher to do Shechita. We know that Shechita of Kodshei Kodashim must be done in the north. You put the pieces of the puzzle together, then you say that the entire Mizbeach must have been in the north. That's why when you do the Shechita on the top of the Mizbeach, it's kasher because you're in the north. And that would be your assumption based on Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. And then, Umayti Ilu, the Mishnah, he says, not that it is in the north, it's as if it is in the north. If you say it's as if in the north, that implies that it's not really in the north, but we consider it like, Maudetema binan al-Yerech veleka, I would have a havamina that you need to be on the edge. Yerech ha-Mizbeach means at the foot or the side of the Mizbeach. And you don't have that here because you're on the Mizbeach. Kamash Balon, that when you're on top of the Mizbeach, when you're in the north, it's as if you have done it on the side of the Mizbeach towards the northern side. If you remember, we had Machlokot earlier with regards to where you can shech Kodshei Kodashim, but everybody agreed you have to be north of the Mizbeach. So the question is, when you're on the Mizbeach, is that considered to be north of the Mizbeach, or is that considered to be on the Mizbeach, and therefore you don't have the status of north? So even though the Mizbeach is completely situated in the north, you might have thought it still doesn't qualify because you're not north of the Mizbeach. So the Kamash Falon is that it's Ke'ilu. It's as if you are in the northern side, and that is fine. Again, this only serves to reinforce the fact that Rabbi Yochanan's statement seems to correlate the positioning of the Mizbeach with the position of Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rabbi Zera l'Ravasi, so then Rabbi Zera basically extrapolates this by saying to Ravasi, El Miato, if that's true, the Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says half the Mizbeach in the north is good, half the Mizbeach in the south is no good, Hachanami, she would also come to the same conclusion, the Chetzio b'Tzafon, v'Chetzio b'Darom, half of it is in the north, half of it is in the south. That would explain why he thinks when you're on the northern half of the Mizbeach, you're fine. When you're on the southern half of the Mizbeach, it doesn't work. So again here, the positions are correlating between position of Mizbeach and their position within the Mishnah. So again here you can see, just to make it clear, over here you can see the position of Rabbi Yochanan, suggesting that Rabbi Yossi believes that Kule Mizbeach b'tzafon koi, which means that the entire Mizbeach is beyond this middle line, the center line of the Azara. That center line places the entire top of the Mizbeach in the northern side. It means if you shecht anywhere on the Mizbeach, you're in the north. Given that, you should be fine. And the Ke'ilu is, even you might have thought it should be on the side of the Mizbeach, even though you're on the Mizbeach, it's fine. So that would be the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Then, if we take that literally, and assume that position matters, then by Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, you would say the same thing. You'd have the Mizbeach centered in the Azara, and then you would end up with the northern half of the Mizbeach being in the north, and the southern half of the Mizbeach being in the south. And that means that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda would permit this section, the northern section of the Mizbeach, for Shechitat Kodshei Kodashim, because it is found on the northern side. So that's the extrapolation that Rabbi Zera makes and challenges Ravasi from that, because Vaha Atu De'amart Mishmei De'Rabbi Yochanan. Aren't you the one who said the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Modi Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Shim Shachatan Kenegdan Bakarka Psula. If you shechted in the same areas down below on the ground, it would be Pasul. So that statement is telling us that if the Mizbeach wasn't there, and you shechted on the ground level where you shechted on the Mizbeach, it would be Pasul. The implications of that are that the Mizbeach most likely is not in the midpoint, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, rather in the southern side, or Kulo, in the southern side. Because if you believe that it's split half and half, then why, if the Mizbeach wasn't here, if you were on the ground, would that not be considered to be north? If half the Mizbeach is in the north, half the Mizbeach is in the south, and he's saying, if you were on the ground, in the same place that the Mizbeach was, you would not be kosher, that implies that it couldn't be that it's in the north. Otherwise, why wouldn't it be kosher? So it must imply that the entire Mizbeach is in the south, because then, if you shecht it on the karka there, it would not work. And that means that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's position is not premised on the location of the Mizbeach. It's saying, irrespective of the location of the Mizbeach, even if the Mizbeach is in the south, it still would be kasher. So that's the problem that Rabbi Zera raises with Ravasi's statement here according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the reason that you have to say this is because Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, if you remember, is of the opinion that only north of the Mizbeach, directly north of the Mizbeach, is kasher. You can't say that what he meant on the karka there means to the right and to the left of the Mizbeach. Because remember, we did have opinions that the northern side of the Mizbeach is not only directly north of the Mizbeach to the wall of the Azara, but it expanded to the east and the west. We had an opinion that expanded to the west towards Eichal. Then we had another position, Rabbi's position, which went all the way to the east, or inside of the Azara. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda himself, we know, is of the position that it only works directly opposite the Mizbeach. When he says here, Kenegdan Bakarka, can't be the positions that are left and right of the Mizbeach. It has to be things where exactly the Mizbeach stands. That's what he's saying. Because that, on the sides, he doesn't permit. So it has to be that it's directly where the Mizbeach is. And why wouldn't it be kasher if the Mizbeach is centered in the Azara? So that's the problem that Rabbi Zera raises with this assumption of Asi. And what you must conclude then is that the entire Mizbeach is in the south. So if the entire Mizbeach is in the south, and now we're going to get to this in the Gemara, we're not there yet, Gemara's going to ask, then how is it that you're doing it on the karka if the Mizbeach is in the south? Because that's what implied here means that you can't do it in the south, because if the Mizbeach wasn't there, you would be entirely in the south. But we'll get to that in a second, how exactly that works. But what Rabbi Zeira is saying is, you can't say that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda believes it's midline, when it most likely is in the south, given the fact that he says, beneath the Mizbeach, it would not be kasher to shech the animal there. This is the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Shnehem mikra echad darshu. They both of them learned it from the same pasuk, which is, v'zavachta alav et olotecha, the end of Parshat Yitro, when it speaks about Mizbeach Adama, the Mizbeach that you make, it says, what's the purpose of the Mizbeach? Mizbeach Adama teseli, v'zavachta alav et olotecha, v'et shelamecha, v'et zoncha, v'et bikarecha, komakom asher azkir shemi, v'oilecha uvirachticha. And you can put on Mizbeach, olot and shlamim. The pasuk says, alav, on it itself. Now, truthfully, alav means you can do the hakrava on the Mizbeach. But zavachta, as we know, many times, Chazal Darshan, zavachta means bicha to mean shchita. So here when it says zavachta alav, it means you can do the shchita on the Mizbeach for the olot and for the shlamim. Rabbi Yossi savar, kulo o ola, the kulo shlamim. It says you can use it for an olah and you can use it for shlamim, means those are two independent statements. Of course, you can use it for shlamim, because shlamim are kosher b'chol azara. But what it also is saying is that the entire Mizbeach is also kosher for olot. That means, irrespective of the positioning of the Mizbeach, you have a pasuk here that tells you anywhere on the Mizbeach is kosher for an olah. That's independent of whether it's in the north, independent of it's whether it's in the south. No matter where it is kosher. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda savar, chetzio le'ola v'chetzio le'shlamim. When it says ola u'shlamim, it's saying that half the Mizbeach is ra'oi for an ola, the other half is ra'oi for shlamim. Meaning that the northern side of Mizbeach is ra'oi for the ola, the southern side is ra'oi for the shlamim. Now, the north will also be ra'oi the shlamim from a kal v'chomer, but it is on the southern side that it is ra'oi. Dizakadatva kulo le'ola, kasher. If you think the entirety of the Mizbeach was kasher for an ola, Hashka kulo le'ola kasher, kulo le'shlamim mibayi. If you think the entire Mizbeach is kasher for an ola, why do you have to tell me about a shlamim anyway? Ola needs safon. If you tell me the entire Mizbeach is kasher le'ola, then you don't have to tell me about shlamim. I would know by definition that shlamim is kasher. The fact that the pasuk specifies shlamim tells you that there must be some split between ola and shlamim. Half for the ola, half for the shlamim. V'idach, position of Yossi, which disagrees, says, it's tricha, Sagadat chamino olahu de dochik le makom. The reason that we permit the olah to be done there is because the olah has a limited scope of space where it can be processed. Shkita has to be in the tzafon. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, it narrowly has to be in the tzafon, just off of the Mizbeach. If you have an overload of olot, you need a space where you can overflow into. So the Torah gives you a special permission to do the olah on top of the Mizbeach. Aval shlamim, delo dochik le makom. Shlamim, where you can do it anywhere in the Azara, so there's no pressure in terms of space. Then maybe then you can't do it on the top of the Mizbeach. Kamash Valon, that both the Ola and the Shlamim are permitted to be done on top of the Mizbeach. So now, the way that Rabbi Yochanan has explained the Machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is about the drush of the Pasuk. The top of the Mizbeach, Rabbi Yossi believes that the entire Mizbeach is kasher for a Korban. That is, the entirety is kasher for an Ola, the entirety is kasher for Shlamim. Well, why do you need to tell me about a shlamim? The whole thing's good for an olah. Anywhere it's good for an olah is good for a shlamim. But the reason the Torah does that is to dispel the possibility of you thinking that olah alone is allowed on the top of the Mizbeach because of the fact that you're pressured for space, and that's why the Torah gave you a dispensation for olah. But shlamim, which has a wide berth in which it can be processed, maybe there was no such dispensation. The answer is, olah and shlamim, both of them are permitted to be done anywhere on the Mizbeach. The other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda believes that you can have half of it is good for an olah, half of it is good for a shlamim. Because otherwise, why mention shlamim? If you know olah, then you know shlamim. It must be that the Torah is dividing the Mizbeach in half and saying half of it is ra'oi for an olah, the other half is ra'oi for shlamim. Not to say that the half of the olah is not good for the shlamim, but the southern half of the Mizbeach is uniquely ra'oi for shlamim, and the northern side is uniquely permitted for the olah. It would permit the shlamim as well, but for an olah, that is uniquely the half of the Mizbeach that is permitted. And that's why it says olah shlamim. Half olah, half shlamim. So that's the view now. Now based on that, Rabbi Yochanan's statement at the beginning of the sugya, that Rabbi Yossi says, kulei Mizbeach b'tzafon, is not premised or based off his position in our Mishnah. So Rabbi Yochanan just explained Rabbi Yossi's position. It has to do with the pasuk in Parshat Yitro that tells us you're allowed to do shchita on top of the Mizbeach. The fact that you do Shkita on top of the Mizbeach is independent of where the Mizbeach is situated. It's a special din in the Mizbeach. It's whether you say Kula Ola Kula Shlamim or you say Chatzi Ola Chatzi Shlamim. But it has nothing to do where it is positioned in the Azara. So that means that the statement of Rabbi Yochanan that Rav Asi brought, that Rabbi Yossi believes Kulei B'Tzalpon, is a Mesorah that he has, independent of our Mishnah, not correlated with our Mishnah, just a Mesorah that that's where the Mizbeach was placed. And that would be true in the reverse as well, which is that you can't prove anything here about the permissibility of Shechting Shlamim in the northern side, because here it's a Gzeret HaKatuv that's associated with on the Mizbeach, and it's not defining the areas that are kasher and not kasher, because even according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, where the Mizbeach is Kulo B'Darom, nevertheless, he says that on the northern side of the Mizbeach is kasher le'olah. So you see it's a gzeret ha'katuv, and therefore you can't extrapolate as to the din of shlamim on the northern side of the Azara. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer, a couple of daf ago on Nun Hey Amud Bet, suggested that you need a pasuk to be matir shlamim in the tzafon, because that's not a given, and you cannot learn it from here, the fact that the northern side of the Mizbeach allows for shechitat ha'shlamim, because the heter on the top of the Mizbeach is a special dispensation, not an indication of whether north or south is permissible for the Ola or the Shlamim. Gufa, Amar Rav Asim Rabbi Yochanan, Modi Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Shimshachatan Kenegdan Bekarka, Sulot. Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says that if you shecht where the Mizbeach is placed on the ground, it would be Pasul. Amar Le Rav Acha Midifti Rabina, Mai Kenegdan Bekarka. What does that mean that you're shechting it on the ground where the Mizbeach is? Ileima Ama Yusod Ama Suveiv. If you're telling me that he did it on the Amma of the Yisod that's around the Mizbeach, or the Amma Soveg, which the Kohanim go around, that's where he did the Shechita, Hai Gufei Mizbeachu. That's a part of the Mizbeach. That's classified like the Mizbeach. So why would that be classified as being on the Karka when you're on the Mizbeach? You may not be at the top of the Mizbeach, but you're on the Mizbeach. So why would he call that being on the Karka? So that can't be the explanation. V'od, by Kenegdan Bakarka. In addition to that, what does it mean, Kenegdan Bakarka? Doesn't sound like you're on the ground, or you're somewhere where it would have been on the ground had it not been for the Mizbeach. That's just not true. You're on the Mizbeach, and it's not connected on the Karka. So you can't explain it that way. If you say they made tunnels underneath, or they put up arches to support the Mizbeach, and then below the Mizbeach, they did this Shechita, and in those areas, this Michilot, those underground chambers, they did the Shechita, Chiyai Gavna Mihavi Mizbeach. Is it classified as a Mizbeach in that? Forget about the fact that you're below the Mizbeach doing the Shechita. Is that a good Shechita? The bigger problem is, do you have a kosher Mizbeach anymore? Batanya. We have the Braita, quoting from, again, Parshat Yitro, Mizbeach Adama Tasevi, that you have to make a Mizbeach from the ground, from the earth. Shedei Mechubar L'Adama. So that it should be connected directly to the ground. Shelo Yivnenu Lo Agabe Mechilot. You're not allowed to build the Mizbeach on top of tunnels. You're not allowed to build the Mizbeach on top of archways. That is a psul in the Mizbeach. Mizbeach is a Mizbeach Adama because of its connection to the ground. It's not enough that it's made with earth and the inside, the hollow part of the Mizbeach is filled with earth. It also has to be connected to the ground. It has to be literally connected without putting it up on some sort of elevated platform. You can't do that. It has to be directly connected to the ground. So that can't be the explanation here. Lotzricha debatzre bitzure. It's a case where they shrunk the Mizbeach. The only requirement of the Mizbeach is that it be ribua, that it be a square. So as long as you maintain the square nature of the Mizbeach, you could shrink the Mizbeach down and it still be a kosher Mizbeach. So now, given the fact that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, as we now learned from the statement of Yochanan, says that the entire Mizbeach is on the southern side, because he says, Kenegdan Bakarka, that if you shechted them on the ground there, it would be Pasul. The only way that's true is if the Mizbeach is completely situated in the south. Well then, how did you do Kenegdan Bakarka? Well, here's the frame of the Mizbeach itself. It's on page 5 of the handout that I sent out last night. And here you can see that the frame of the old Mizbeach is this size. But Tzure Batzure means they shrunk it down. On a scale basis, they shrunk it down. It's still the same square area, but they just shrunk it down. In doing so, they opened up the area where the Mizbeach would have stood or did stand. That area is completely in the south. So when you do them connect on the karka, that's not a kosher shechita. So that explained the position of, first of all, Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda, as well as Rabbi Yochanan's statement about Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda says, Gzeirat HaKatov, that half of it is good for an olah, half it is good for a shlamim. It means that the northern half of the Mizbeach, despite the fact that it's situated in the south completely, the northern half of the Mizbeach is kasher l'shchita. That's gzeirat ha-katuv, irrespective of the placement on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yochanan's statement that if the Mizbeach wasn't there and you wanted to connect them, Bekarka would be pasul, is because the Mizbeach is sitting in the south completely. And therefore, if you shrunk the Mizbeach and you were on the Karka, which equivalent to the northern side of the Mizbeach, that would be problematic for you. Because Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yisrael says anything north of the Mizbeach is kasher. Nevertheless, here, that northern section of the Mizbeach is not kasher because it's situated in the south. So that would explain the position of Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Efshar ita l'had Rabbi Yochanan v'lo tanin ala b'matanitin. Is it possible that this position of Rabbi Yochanan is stated as a memra, but has no basis in the Mishnah? Can we discover it within a Mishnah? So that position, which we started out the Gemara with, that Rabbi Yossi believes the entire Mizbeach is in the Tzafon, which we are now saying is a Misora that Rabbi Yochanan had, not a derivative or a Mishnah. So what Rabbi Zeira is suggesting, after challenging that statement by Ravasi, and then Ravasi retorting and saying it's not based on a Mishnah, it's based on a Misora that Rabbi Yochanan had, Rabbi Zeira says, how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan said something and there's no basis in the Mishnah? So Nafak Dak Vashkach, he went out to search through Mishnayot, and came up with a Mishnah that seemingly supports Rabbi Yochanan's contention. That's none. Biru Misham Atzei Teina Yifim. When they went to put the pyres on the Mizbeach, they went to the woodshed, and the woodshed had fig wood. The reason for fig wood is that it burns nicely, creates good coals, and it dries out, it doesn't rot or get worms in it as much. So it was a preferable form of wood to use on the Mizbeach. Rashi brings a midrashic reason that they used Atzei Teina, was to be Mechaper on Chet Adam HaRishon, because there are three different opinions of the Chazal as to what was the Eitz Hadat Tovira, and they're all somewhat evidenced by the Psukim. One position is that they were Atzei Teina, which has the strongest evidence in the Psukim, which is after they sin, they take Alei Teina. They take fig leaves to cover themselves up. And so Chazal and Rashi quotes this in Chumash, say that Adam and Chava wanted to take leaves from the trees, and all the trees withheld it, except for Eitz HaTeina, because that's the one that they had sinned with, and they took leaves from there and covered themselves up. So the fact that they use at the Alei Teina is indicative of the fact that the Eitz HaDat Tovira was an Eitz Teina. The other possibility is that it was Geffen. It was a vine, but it was grapes, and they made wine from it. Chazal based that on the fact that later on, by Noach, and throughout Tanakh, the difficulties that are caused by intoxication and by the drinking of wine and what it does to people, similarly, Eitz HaDat Tovira, wine brings destruction and brings woe with it. And that was the tree, quote-unquote, that they ate from. The third opinion of Chazal, that it was chita, it was wheat, that they ate from. And that the Gemara says that the young child, he reaches the point of dat when he begins to eat bread, when he begins to eat wheat products. So that's a Eitz HaDat Tovira, based on our development, or the way that children develop, once they reach the chita, the consumption of chita, that's when they reach a level of dat. And so then they associate that with Eitz HaDat Tovira, is the chita. Those are the three opinions. An apple is not found amongst those opinions. But here, Rashi claims that the Atzei Teina might be correlated with that on the Midrashic level, using Atzei Teina to be Mechaper on Chet Adam HaRishon. So then, they take them, Lesader Maracha Shnia Shel Kitoret. This is to make the second pyre on the Mizbeach. The main pyre of the Mizbeach is used to put the Korbanot on. They had additional pyres on the Mizbeach. It's Machloket, about how many pyres, and the purpose of each pyre, but at least the first two pyres everybody agrees with existed. That's the main pyre. It's called the Maracha Rishona, or the Maracha Gedola, which is the main pyre on the Mizbeach. And the Maracha Shnia, everybody agrees, also existed. And that was a pyre from which they took coals to take it to the Mizbeach Zav to be makriv the Ktoret every day. The Ktoret is put daily, machzita b'boker, machzita b'erev, on the Mizbeach Zav internally. The Mizbeach Zav has nothing on it. So what you did, you had to bring coals from the Mizbeach Chitzon in order to burn the Ketoret, the incense, on the Mizbeach Zahav. So they created a separate pyre called the Maracha Shnia on the Mizbeach Chitzon in order to facilitate the bringing of those coals into the Mizbeach HaZahav. So here, in the Mishnah and Tamid, it's describing the daily activities in the Mikdash. And amongst those daily activities is making this second pyre, which is what's being described here now. Keneged Keren Maravit Dromit. They set up the pyre on the southwestern corner, Mashuch Mina Keren, away from the corner, Klapei Tzafon, towards the north, Arba Amot, 4 Amot. So here he's describing the placement of this pyre. It is in the southwestern side of the Mizbeach, which means that the ramp side, the face of the Mizbeach, is the south. The western side is towards the Heichal. So what's being described here is the southwestern corner, so the corner that's by the ramp and towards the Heichal, but it's pushed away from that corner 4 Amot towards the north. So it's shifted northwards 4 Amot, which I'll have to discuss why that is. But Omeid Chamesh Sa'im Gilchalim, and they estimated the amount of wood that they put there was enough wood, as they estimated, to produce 5 Sa'ah worth of coals. Because the 5 Sa'ah worth of coals would provide the sufficient amount of coals for them to do the Mizbeach Hazav, and enough extra in case there were issues, because you need the hottest or the best coals. B'Shabbat, Ba'omed Shmona Sa'im Gichalim. And on Shabbat, they used to add an additional wood in order to create finished product of coals of 8 Sa'ah, because then on Shabbat, not only did they take coals in to do the Ketoret on the Mizbeach Hazav, they also brought the Shnei Bazichei Levona, the 2 frank incense cups or ladles or spoons that were found on the Shulchan, the Lechem Kohanim. They were put on the Mizbeach on Shabbat in order to be matir the Lechem to the Kohanim. So those Shnei Bazichim need a place on the Mizbeach Kitzon. That place is this pyre. So they used to make the second pyre bigger on Shabbat so they could handle not only the coals to be taken in to the Mizbeach Zav and the Torah, but also to bring out the Bazichei Levona from the Shulchan and place them on the Mizbeach Kitzon on this pyre. So that's what's described in the Mishnah in Tamid. Here you can see again, just a quick visual on page 6 here, you can see that the Mizbeach is situated here according to at least Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda in the south. We're going to get through different permutations of this. But what it's saying here is that you shift it 4 Amot off the southern edge of the Mizbeach, and this second pyre is found in the southwestern corner, 4 Amot off the side of the Mizbeach. And we'll explain in a second how you get the 4 Amot to where that puts the placement and the reason for that. So my simono, how do you know where to place it? Rabbi Yossi, that is the siman that's given by Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara here, and this is what we were looking for, is this idea that Rabbi Yossi somehow tips his hand as to where the Mizbeach was placed somewhere in the Mishnah. That's what the Gemara says here. The siman to know what the Mishnah in Tamid says about where the second pyre is found is the following. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, ze siman. This is the siman for the second pyre. Kol anital bifnim, linatein b'chutz, anything that's taken from inside the Heichal, we place on the Mizbeach achitzon, eino notein ela b'samuch, she'em lifnim. It's placed on the closest location to which there is no closer location. When you exit the Heichal, and you want to put, for instance, the Shnei Bazichei Levona on the Mizbeach achitzon, you have to go to the place that is the closest location upon exit from the Heichal. That's where you want the pyre to be. And vice versa. Anything that is on the outer Mizbeach, that is going to be taken in to the Heichal, so the coals that you're going to take from the second pyre, and put them on the Mizbeach Zav in the Heichal to do the Ketoret, they have to be the closest point on the Mizbeach to that entrance to the Heichal. That's the siman that Rabbi Yossi gives as to where the placement of the pyre is. We know it's 4 Amot off the northern side in the southwestern corner. The reason it's in the west is obvious, because west is going to be the closest point to the Heichal. Where along the western side, that we're not certain of, but what Rabbi Yossi tells us is the placement along that western side has to do with how close you are to the Heichal. The closest point to the entrance of the Heichal is where it's going to be along the west line of the Ma'arav of the Mizbeach. So now the Gemara goes on to explain. Kol anital bifnim inatein b'chutz, anything that's inside the Heichal that's going to be placed on the outer Mizbeach, mainil, what is that? Ilema shirayim, if you're speaking about the shirayim from the chatot pnimiyot, the dam that was used to do the sprinkling inside of the Heichal for either parv seir shiyom kippurim, or the parim nisrafim and the serim nisrafim, where we know the residual blood is placed on yisod ha-maravi, shom Mizbeach Kitzon, behejek tibo, That is explicit in the Psukim. You don't need a siman, you don't need a break to tell you that. It says, a yisod mizbach ha'olah, asher petach ol moed. You put it on the yisod of the mizbach chitzon, asher petach ol moed, which is at the entranceway to the ol moed. So that's already explicit in the Pasuk. You're going to have to be as close as possible. And that's why you put it on the western yisod, is because when you exit, you've got to put it in the area exactly where you exit. And that is the western yisod. The two. Something that is put on the outside of his mizbeach and then taken in, what is that? If you're speaking about the coals for Yom HaKippurim, that the Kohen Gadol takes in Yom Kippur, Meloch Chofnav of the Toret, and then the other side, he takes a pan or spoonful of the coals to put in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, to be Makrib the Toret, the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So if you're saying it's for those coals that have to be taken, the hedge of Tibu, again, it's explicit. It says, Lakach no mafta gach le'esh, and we don't have the remainder of the pasuk here, but that is what the important part of it is. V'lakach m'lo amachta gach le'esh mi'al ha'mizbeach mi'lifnei Hashem, u'mloch ofnav kitor etzamim daka, ve'vi mi'beit la'parochet. From the mizbeach that is lifnei Hashem. Well, which is mizbeach that is mi'lifnei Hashem? The mizbeach itzon is part of it is lifnei Hashem, but that refers to the mizbeach itzon, not the mizbeach zahav, which is kulo lifnei Hashem. The entirety of the mizbeach is lifnei Hashem because it sits in the middle of the Eichal, in a placement which is directly opposite the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Mizbeach Chitzon, which is much larger, a portion of it will sit lifnei Hashem. So that must be a reference to the Mizbeach Chitzon. So both of those issues are addressed in the Psukim, and that can't be what the Siman in the Breita that Rabbi Yossi is bringing tells us. Ella, kol nital bifnim le'etein b'chutz. So what is the item that was internal to the Eichal that you're trying to take outside? Shnei basichei levona shalechem apanim. Those are the two utensils that hold the frankincense on the shulchan lechem apanim, the gamrei mishirayim that we learn from the Sheri Adam. Just like the Sheri Adam, when you're exiting the Eichal, you end up putting it on the closest location when you exit the Eichal, because the pasuk tells you, yisod mizbach olah asher petach ol moed, that teaches you you've got to be in the place that's closest when you exit. So too, the bazik levona will do the same thing. We're going to put them in the closest location when you exit. That which is external on the mizbeach chitzon, and then going to take it internally to the Eichal. Gechalim d'chol yoma v'yoma. Those are the coals that you daily take in to the Eichal to put on mizbeach zav to do the ktoret. The gamra mikachalim shal yom kippurim, which will then use as a paradigm the coals of Yom Kippur, and therefore you will do the same thing you do on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur we said it's got to be on the mizbeach chitzon, asher lifnei Hashem, that is before Hashem, which is an area that is directly opposite the Eichal. So too on a daily basis, the calls that you take will be lifnei Hashem. And as the Baal Yitosvot point out over here, b'kulei shmaita mashma, the gechalim diyom ha-kippurim, tiyuach lekach keneged ha-petach, tzarech lamar, dehainu lechatchila. That's only lechatchila, but diviavad, kasher, afilu ha-gitsa, the ha-gitsa. Even if it's skewed away from this doorway or the entranceway to the petach ha-moed, it would still be kasher as long as it's on the western side. And that's based on the Nei Hashem, that has to be before Hashem. And the Nei Hashem means the western side of the Mizbeach, because that's the side that faces towards the Eichal, towards Hashem. The Baal HaTosafot also point out is that the word Nei Hashem in different contexts has different meaning. As the Baal HaTosafot point out, that certain korbanot or certain things that are processed in the Mikdash were done Nei Hashem. And over there we don't have a requirement that it be literally on the western side or opposite the doorway. Lifnei Hashem just means that it has to be in the area that is facing the Petach or has visibility into the Petach Ol Moed. How come Lifnei Hashem in some places means the western side as close as possible, and other times it just means in the general vicinity of the Azara? What the Baal HaTosafot will point out is it has to do with what is the other option. In cases where Lifnei Hashem is telling you that you can't do it outside the Azara, then Lifnei Hashem means inside the Azara. On the other hand, if the item is already going to be processed in the Azara, that's a given, then Lifnei Hashem means within the Azara, it's got to be closer to Lifnei Hashem, which means on the western side. And therefore over here, by the Gechalim, which obviously are going to be taken from the Mizbeach Chitzon, which is within the Azara, you say Lifnei Hashem, that's telling you a more particular location on the Mizbeach Chitzon, which means closer to the west or closer to the entranceway of the Eichal. On the other hand, when it comes to, by the Tnufat Alok Shem and Shalom Mitzorah, and there it's Bashar Yibachom Akom Bazara. You can do it anywhere in the Azara. That's because there the Pnei Hashem is as opposed to being outside the Azara. It has to be done in the Azara. So the Pnei Hashem just simply means in Azara, not outside the Azara. And so the context in which the Pnei Hashem is stated will also give you definition to what the Pnei Hashem means, whether it means simply in the Azara, or means something more particularly close to the entranceway to the Petach HaMoed on the western side. That's already when the item's already known to be in the Azara, or has to be in the Azara, then the Pnei Hashem gives you a stronger pull towards the Eichal. So my Kosovar, what does Rabbi Yossi believe in order for this to be the case, that the Mishnah in Tamid is going to match up being four amot skewed off the southwestern corner and end up being the closest place to the entrance to the Heichal? You have two factors here that you're trying to reconcile. You have a Mishnah in Tamid that tells you four amot off the southwestern corner, that's where the pyre is situated. Rabbi Yossi in a bright that tells you, the Siman is, that's the closest point to the entrance of the Eichal and the closest point to the exit of the Eichal. So we have to match those two up. Based on matching those two up, we should end up with a positioning of the Mizbech. We'll know where the Mizbech is positioned according to Rabbi Yossi. So that's what the Gemara is going to test now. Mika Sabar, what does he think? Ika Sabar kuli Mizbech bidarom koi. If he thinks the entire Mizbech is situated in the south, Esrim b'sheva by the Meite. He needs 27 amot skewed off the southwestern corner, not 4 amot skewed off the western corner. So over here in the picture on page 6, you can see if the Mizbeach is entirely situated on the southern side, meaning that the northern end of the Mizbeach is at the midpoint of the Azara on the north to south direction. That means the entire Mizbeach is in the south. So now, in order to be in front of the Petach, the minimum amount you'd have to be in front of the Petach is 27 amot. The reason is that the Petach HaEichal is 10 amot wide. The Petach HaUlam is 20 amot wide. But right now we're assuming that the Petach HaMoed that we're speaking about is the Petach HaEichal, 10 amot wide. That means if the northern end of the Mizbeach is centered in the Azara, that means that for first 5 amot towards the south of the Mizbeach, that is opposite the Petach HaMoed. Because the Petach HaMoed is 10 amot wide, centered in the Azara. 5 amot to the south, 5 amot to the north. Those 5 amot to the south will overlap with the Mizbeach. So those 5 amot, any of that area of those 5 amot would be kosher for the pyre. But now if I want to know how far is that, we know the Mizbeach is 32 amot long. So 32 amot long minus 5 is 27 amot. So the Mishnah Tamid should have said you skew it off the southwestern corner of the Yesod, 27 amot. And then you'd end up with the pyre opposite the doorway to the Heichal. The fact that it says 4 amot obviously means that it can't be situated in the south. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense. So therefore, it can't be totally in the south. If you believe that the ulam carries the same kedusha as the eichal, the ulam is like the antechamber that comes before the eichal. It's much wider, as we've noted already. It has like a wingspan to it that extends 15 amot each side, wider than the eichal itself. But it was an entranceway in a building that went in towards the Eichal. Bali Tosfot note this over here, that throughout Shas, the Gemara is uncertain as to whether the Ulam has the same status as Eichal or not. And even Alokha, it's a safek whether it is that way. But let's assume that maybe the Ulam has the same din as Eichal. That benefits you by making it that you have a span of 20 amot instead of 10 amot in which you can overlap with the Mizbeach. Because the doorway to the Ulam is 20 amot instead of 10 amot of the Eichal. If you take that centered in the Azara, that means 10 amot of the Petach Ulam are on the southern side of the Azara. Given that, any of those 10 amot on the Mizbeach, along the line of the Mizbeach, would have been fine. If the entire Mizbeach was skewed to the south, then the first 10 amot from the northern side of the Mizbeach to the south would be kasher. They would be lifnei Petach HaMoed. They'd be towards the entrance of the Ulam. Again, if the Mizbeach is 32 amot long in that direction, and these 10 amot would be kasher, you would need to skew off the southwestern corner 22 amot for it to be a valid pyre. So obviously, that can't be the explanation, because the Mishnah in Tamid says 4 amot, not 22 amot. So that's why, in he has to at least push it a minimum of 22 amot off the southwestern corner. So let's suggest now that he believes that the Mizbeach is not all the way to the south, rather is centered in the Azara. So when it's centered in the Azara, again here we're going to do the same calculation. Centering of the Mizbeach in the Azara means the 32 amot square of the Mizbeach is split in half. 16 amot are on the southern side of the Ezra, 16 amot are on the northern side of the Ezra. So once again here, if we look at the Petach Hechal as being 10 amot wide, that means along the center line of the Mizbeach, 5 amot towards the south are kosher, 5 amot towards the north would also be kosher because they're opposite the Mizbeach, but I want to get closest to the southwestern point. So the closest point to the southwestern point, with 32 amot wide, and a Hechal that's centered on it that is 10 amot wide. If I take 32 minus 10, I am left with 22 amot. That means that on the centered part of the Mizbeach, there's 10 amot which are Ksherim, which are opposite the Petach Olmoy. That means if I take 32 minus 10, to each side of the Mizbeach, there are 11 amot, which are not Ksherim. So that would tell you that the minimum amount you'd have to skew from the southwestern corner in order to be Lifnei Petach Olmoy would be 11 amot. Once again, that doesn't match up with the Mishnah in Tamid, which says 4 amot. That's what the Gemara says. Ika saver chetzio b'tzafon v'chetzio b'darom. If you think the Mizbeach is situated half in the north, half in the south, chatzarei boi lemeite. You'd have to skew it at least 11 amot from the southwestern corner to get it Lifnei Petach Olmoy. V'inami kasover k'dushat eichal v'ulam chadahu. Alright, let's try again to say maybe the Petach Ulam is just as good as Petach Ol Moed, which means now you have a 20 amot area in the middle that would be kasher. Once again, if the Mizbeach is centered, a 32 amot Mizbeach is centered, and you have a doorway that is 20 amot wide that is centered. Anywhere within those 20 amot would be kasher. So if I take 32 minus 20, I'm left with 12. If you split it half and half, halfway to the south, half to the east, it means you're skewed 6 amot off the corner to be in front of the Petach HaUlam. So once again, if you were skewing off the southwestern corner, you'd put the pyre a minimum of 6 amot away from the corner. Not the 4 amot that we spoke about, but the 6 amot. And that's what the Gemara says here. V'inami kasavak dushad echav ulam chadamilti shit by the meite. You'd have to put a minimum of 6. Elalav mishom de kasavar kule mizbeach v'tzafon koi. It must be that the entire mizbeach is on the northern side of the Azara. And this is what Rabbi Zeira is looking for. Rabbi Zeira is looking for a position that indicates to us that Rabbi Yossi holds Kulei Mizbeach Tzafon. Remember, Rabbi Yossi is the one who gave us the Siman, explaining that Mishnah in Tamid. And now, if you make it that the entire Mizbeach is in the northern side, now you're going to end up with the right number. So let's work on this. V'hani Arba Amot. Ama Yisod. Ama Sovev. Ama Makom Karnot. Ama makom raglei ha-ko'anim. Tichi masku l'kamei tvei tuleka petach. If you push it beyond that point, you're not going to be in front of the petach. So as opposed to before, we were trying to get the minimum shiur away from the southern side that you have to be in order to be in front of the petach. In this case, if you think the entire Mizbeach is in the tzafon, you have the opposite problem. Which is that if the entire Mizbeach is in the tzafon, you have limited space in which you're still in front of the petach ha-echal. Because the only section that's in front of the Eichal is the very, very first part of it towards the southern side. If you go beyond that, you're not going to be in the Eichal. So the measurement's not a minimum size of how far you need to be away. It is a maximum size that you can be away. And what they're explaining here is, if Kulei Mizbeach is in the northern side, and you believe the Petach Eichal is 10 amot wide, that means that if the Mizbeach only starts at the midline of the Azara, then only first five amot of the Mizbeach are Ksherim. Because only the first 5 amot in the Mizbeach are opposite the Petach HaEchal. And we know there's a problem. If you want to put a pyre on top of the Mizbeach, to get to the top of the Mizbeach, you would have to move 4 amot in from the southwestern side. That is because the first amah is consumed by the Yesod. The second amah is consumed by the Sovev around the Mizbeach. The third amah are where the corners of the Mizbeach, the Karnot of the Mizbeach are. The fourth amah was that there was a quote-unquote pathway around the Mizbeach, which the Kohanim used to walk on to work on the Mizbeach. So there was empty space where they could go around the Mizbeach. If you had a pyre there, they wouldn't be able to walk around the Mizbeach. So there's an Adma wide area, which was called Makom Drisad Raglei HaKohanim, Makom Hiluch HaKohanim, the place where the Kohanim went around the Mizbeach. Given that, there's a minimum of 4 amot, which are not usable for the pyre. That means that you have exactly 1 amah left on the top of the Mizbeach, that's going to be kosher and still be Lifnei Petach Ol Moed. And that's what the Mishnah tells you. Mishnah says, put the pyre right after the 4 amot. If you put the pyre right after the 4 amot, you'll still be in front of the Heichal. Because there's five amot that are in front of the Heichal. Four amot are consumed by things that have utility besides the area of Haktara. That means the fifth ama is where you're going to want to put the pyre over here. The chimaske, the kameitve, if you pushed it any more than four amot, tulak petach, you'll no longer be front of the petach haichal. You can't go any further. And that way, first of all, we have evidence in a Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi holds that it's in the north, because now we found the reason for the four amot. The four amot makes sense when the mizbeach is completely skewed to the north. The four amot tell you the maximum area you can skew towards the north before you lose being in front of the petach haichal. Now we can explain the Mishnah as where the four amot came from. The explanation of Rabbi Yossi, that it's a siman, that you gotta be in the closest place when you exit the Eichal, meaning you gotta be in front of the doorway of the Eichal. And now we can reconcile both the Braita, the Mishnah, and Rabbi Zera says, now I have a source for the fact that Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Yossi believes, kule mizbeach bitzafon. It's a Mesorah, but there's evidence of that Mesorah in the Mishnah. Amar Avada Bava, Hamani, Rabbi Yehudi, who says it's the position of Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, who believes now that you think it's all in the north, maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mizbeach, Mimutza, Ve'umeid, Ve'emtza Hazara. Rabbi Yehuda is of the belief that the Mizbeach sits on the center of the Hazara. Now we already tested this. If you put it in the center of the Hazara, you're not going to end up with four amot skewed away from the southwestern corner. Now the Gemara says, let's do this again. Shloshim u'shtayim amot hayulo. We know that the Mizbeach itself is 32 by 32, 16 in each direction from the center line. Eser amot keneged pitcho shel eichal. There are 10 amot that align with the petach haeichal. Achad esrei amah mikan, achad esrei mikan. That leaves 11 amot past the doorway in each direction. And if 10 amot in the middle are the centered area where it's kasher, petach homoei, 32 minus 10 is 22. Half to the north, half to the south, means you have 11 amot in each direction. Nimtza mizbeach mikuvan keneged eichal. So there you see that it's centered along the eichal. Says, sof, the Rabbi Yehuda, chatzari boi lemete. In the end, this is what we said already prior, that you have to skew it up the southwestern corner, a minimum of 11 amot. So then how can Rabbi Yehuda be the author of the Mishnah in Tamid, if the Mishnah in Tamid says 4 amot? How do you explain that? That can't be the shu. Ika savar kudushad eichal, vulam chada miltayi. If he believes that they are one thing, that we also tested before, and we saw that when the petach eichal, which is 20 amot wide, so that means there's a 20 amot in the center of the Mizbeach, which is kasher. 32 minus 20 is 12. That means you still need 6 amot in each direction. It still doesn't match up with the Mishnah. Shit by the Mete. It should be 6 off the southwestern corner. So how are you getting to this 4 number? You're now suggesting, now it's not Rabbi Yossi, it's not Kulei B'Tzafon. It's Rabbi Yehuda who thinks it's centered. Well, if it's Rabbi Yehuda who thinks it's centered, how do you get in reconciliation with the Mishnah that says 4 amot? Now, there are a number of assumptions here. One assumption is that everybody agrees to the siman that Rabbi Yossi gave. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees to that siman. And the second assumption is, it's Rabbi Yehuda and not Rabbi Yossi, which the Gemara will ask in a second. Why can't this be Rabbi Yossi who says that it's centered over here? So now the Gemara says, no problem. Misavarat hani arba amot v'hadi ama yisod v'masoveiv. When it counts the four amot, who says it's counting directly from the southwestern corner, the furthest point in Mizbeach, the 32 amot, which is the Amaha Yisod. So you're screwing 6 amot in. That's not true. Arba amot, bar mi amasod, amasovev. 4 amot are counting basically the top of the Mizbeach. The top of the Mizbeach is 28 by 28. That is because there's an Amaha Yisod and an amasovev that encircles the Mizbeach, that takes off 2 amot on every side. You're starting with a box of 32 by 32. Take out 2 amot on each side, it's minus 4. For each direction, it means that the top of the Mizbeach is 28 by 28. We did that the other day, where the block that was made for the upper part of the Mizbeach was 28 by 28 by 3 amot tall. That's how we got the upper part of the Mizbeach. So that means it's 28 by 28. 28 by 28 centered on the Petach HaUlam. The Ulam is Remir's 20 amot wide. So 28 minus 20 is 8 amot. You split that half to the north, half to the south, you're 4 amot off the corner. Those are the 4 amot you're looking for. So that's basically what the Gemara now concludes, is that this position in the Mishnah in Tamid is based on the Mizbeach being centered in the Hazara, matching up against the Petach HaUlam, which is 20 Amot wide. And the way that you get the 4 Amot is you don't count the Amah Yisod and the Amah Soveit, because those aren't on the platform where you're going to do a pyre. Starting from the Keren, which the corner, which is on the platform itself, if you count four amot in, you're going to end up opposite the doorway of the ulam. So it's really six amot, but you're not counting the amai yisod and amai suvev, and then you add the four amot, and therefore he can be the author of that position that the second pyre is four amot skewed off the southwestern corner. So now Umar says, v'nukma k'Rabbi Yossi v'memutza. Why don't you just set it up like Rabbi Yossi? We don't know where Rabbi Yossi's position is. So Rabbi Zera wanted to come along and say, I can bring evidence to Rabbi Yochanan's statement that Rabbi Yossi believes Kula B'Tzofon, because that would explain that Mishnah in Tamid. Gemara says, no. That's not true. It's Rabbi Huda is the author of that position in Tamid, and he believes Mizbeach is Mimutza, is center. The truth is, you could have said, it's Rabbi Yossi is the author of that Mishnah in Tamid, and he believes Mizbeach is Mimutza, is center. How do you know it's Rabbi Huda instead of Rabbi Yossi? Maybe Rabbi Yossi really believes it's center, and Rabbi Yochanan's statement about the north is just incorrect. But how do you know it's not Rabbi Yossi that's the position? It says, Mishom, Rabbi Huda, Shmanale, Mimutza, Behedya. That's because we know explicitly Rabbi Huda says that the Mizbeach is center. But Rabbi Yossi, we don't know what his opinion is. So now to say that his opinion is definitely that it's centered in the middle and he's the author of Mishnah Tamid, you can't prove anything. He mentioned something in the Braita to give you a hint. But his position, about giving you a hint, may not be in his own position. It may be in the position of the author of the Mishnah Yot and Tamid. According to the authorship of the Mishnah and Tamid, you would say that the Mizbeach must be centered. But that doesn't mean that Rabbi Yossi himself holds that the Mizbeach is centered. We don't know what Rabbi Yossi holds. And then that would not be a direct stira to Rabbi Yochanan. If you say that Rabbi Yossi is the author of the Mishnah Tamid, and he thinks Mizbeach is Mimutza, then you have a Tanaic work that is opposed to Rabbi Yochanan's position, that Kulei B'Tzafon. Mar says, the reason we don't do that is because there's no evidence explicitly that Rabbi Yossi is the author of that Mishnah, and we know Rabbi Huda says it's Mimutza. So if Rabbi Huda says it's Mimutza, we can work it out that way, then we can say that Rabbi Huda is the author, and there's a possible explanation. It doesn't prove either that Rabbi Yossi thinks it's Mimutza or Kulei B'Tzafon. Neither of those are proven from the Mishnah, and now Rabbi Zera's proof has been dropped. So we're going to stop here. Two lines from the bottom of Nun Chet Amud Bet, because the Gemara is going to continue discussing placement of the Mizbeach, and then add in now the Kiyor, where the Kiyor is found, but that sugya continues all the way through Nun Tet, so we're going to do that tomorrow.